Well, we got some good bishops and priests standing up, answering the call. So happy. So happy. Most of y'all followed last week where, I think it was about a week ago, I said, where are the bishops? Where are the clergy? Where are you, Bishop Barron, with your enormous platform? Why aren't you saying anything? And Bishop Barron said, it's not my job. Because Vatican II says lay people should be out in the secular realm. And I said, Bishop Barron, where is that in Vatican II? And he blocked me. So that's the end of that conversation. But we got a new conversation with some clergy, some bishops. We got Bishop Corleone in San Francisco. We've got Bishop Hying in Madison. We've got this young, dynamic priest, Father Stephen Schumacher, out at the statue of St. Louis. And it is promising. This is good news. We're not alone. We have some good and holy priests, and they're saying the right things, and they're doing the right thing. Archbishop Corleone led the rosary at the site of the statue. He prayed. He said an exorcism. So we're going to get into all that. I'm going to run the footage. It's going to be an awesome show today. Before we get started, please like this show. That tells YouTube bots that, hey, this is a good show. You should share it around. And please share this video. It's right next to the like, thumbs up. Please share this on Facebook. It's a big help. That's the number one way views come in here. Please, please share it on Facebook. If you're new, we are live. It's Sunday. Please subscribe and hit the notification bell. All right, let's get started. We always pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. We'll pray it in Latin. I'll put the words on the screen so you can follow along with me. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. And Almighty God, we pray in a special way for His Excellency Archbishop Corleone, for Bishop Donald Hying, and for Father Stephen Schumacher. We ask your blessing upon them, reward them with many graces and signal signs, and also raise up many more clergy, bishops, priests, deacons, and also lay people to do the right thing and protect our Catholic faith, protect our symbols, our signs, and our statues. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, I was really pleased to see that the silence was broken by Bishop Hying originally. He's the new bishop out at Madison in Wisconsin, and he issued a statement. He said, the church by no means desires injustice to go unanswered, but two wrongs do not make a right. We cannot acknowledge the good of a saint such as Juniper Cerro, if we cannot acknowledge the good of a saint such as Junipero Cerro, we risk preferring ideology to truth. Now, I think Bishop Hying was one of the first bishops to actually issue a statement. He also said, should certain statues be placed in museums or storage? Perhaps. Should we let a group of vandals make those decisions for us? No. He also said, if we allow the commemorative and visual history of our nation to be destroyed by random groups in the current moment of anger, how will we ever learn from that history? Does toppling and vandalizing a statue of George Washington because he owned slaves really serve our country and our collective memory? So this is good, and I praise Your Excellency, Bishop Hying. This is great. There's one thing that I think we're going to see this in today's show. There's just a constructive criticism that I want to make. Bishop Hying broke the silence. I realize for bishops to break rank with the USCCB is a big deal. They don't like to do that. But he had the statement where he said, if we cannot acknowledge the good of a saint, such as Junipero Serra, we risk preferring ideology to the truth. That's good, but this is sort of this political talk. It's true, it's good, Bishop Hying, I like it. But we Catholics have a toolbox of Catholic tools and language. And what I like to see happen is bishops to start getting their toolbox, their Catholic toolbox, opening it up and using the tools, using the language. I'm talking about mortal sin, sacrilege, blasphemy, desecration. We're not talking about private property, ideology, etc. We're talking about, now, George Washington, that's history. Jefferson, I'll grant that. But when we're talking about Catholic images, the Seventh Ecumenical Council said that they're sacred. It's a mortal sin and a sacrilege to deface or destroy one. So we need to return to our Catholic toolbox of the language we used to use, the big language, and condemn these things as demonic, blasphemous, sacrilegious, desecration. This is the language we're going to use. The liberals, the lefts, the communists, Antifa, they use powerful language meant to embarrass us and to shut us up and to destroy us. We need to use the language of the Catholic Church. Are y'all hearing me? There was a little bit of an audio problem. I just got a note here from Daniel. Are y'all hearing me? I hope so. Let me turn on the comments here. Is everyone hearing me? Sorry. Just taking a pause here. Just kind of want to roll, but I got the note from Dan saying I might be muted. Looks like y'all are hearing me. I'm going to keep going. So we got to use this language. Now, I'm going to pivot here, and I'm going to talk about Archbishop Corleone. Let me ask Dan if he can hear me. You hear me, Dan? You're freaking me out, Dan. Is this legit? Corleone. He uses some really good language. I'm going to show a little promo video. I had the full video. I was going to show a lot of it, and then I realized the Archdiocese of San Francisco put out a compressed version. I want to share that with you, and I want to make some commentary on the way because I really, really appreciate Your Excellency, Archbishop Corleone, because not only did he lead the rosary, got my heart right there, Archbishop, not only did he pray, not only did he call this blasphemous, he said an exorcism in Latin. We're going to talk about what that means, but first, I am going to run this clip, hopefully there's no problems with it. Here we go.
We are here at the site where the statue of Father Serra stood in Golden Gate Park. That was blasphemously torn down. An act of sacrilege occurred here. That
I'm going to rewind that because it bumped up. Here we go.
Blasphemously torn down. An act of sacrilege occurred here.
Love it. I love it. Your Excellency. This is what I want to see. People are saying, well, Marshall, why are you calling on Bishop Barron? Shouldn't you fly out to California and you stand there? Well, I guess I could, but I live in Texas. And they're like, well, what do you want him to do? I said on YouTube, how about the bishops put on their big boy pants and their big boy cassocks and their big boy miters, get the croziers, go out to where this sacrilege happened and stand there and pray and denounce it. Well, thanks be to God, Archbishop Corleone did that. And notice the language he's using here. Listen to this.
That is an act of the evil one.
Act of the evil one.
We are here at the site where the statue of Father Serra stood in Golden Gate Park. That was blasphemously torn down. An act of sacrilege occurred here. That is an act of the evil one. Evil has made itself present here. So Amen. We have gathered together to pray to God and to pray, ask the saints for their intercession, above all, our Blessed Mother.
Does this sound Catholic to you? Sure does to me. We've got an act of sacrilege, blasphemy, work of the devil. So we're going to come together and we're going to pray. We're going to ask for reparation. We're going to seek the intercession of the saints and especially the Virgin Mary. Bravo, Your Excellency. Bravo. He didn't sit at home in the rectory with his appletinis and his buddies. He took action. He went out and he called it for what it is, sacrilege, blasphemy, demonic. And he said, let's go out and pray. Let's do this.
An act of reparation, asking God's mercy upon us, upon our whole city. that we might turn our hearts back to Him. We came together to pray the Rosary as Our Lady asks us. Our Lady is always asking us to pray the Rosary, asking her intercession. The Rosary has the power even to change history. Our history has shown that it can change the course of history. We bind together in prayer and fasting and penance.
Love this so much. Rosary change history. Every day, I say, if you don't pray the Rosary, you're not on the team. The Rosary keeps us from getting upset, stressed out, angry, discouraged, depressed about what's going on in the world, and reminds us that Jesus always wins. He chooses Our Lady as an instrument of grace. The Rosary changes history. She gave it to St. Dominic to defeat all heresies. Look who's on the screen. Dominican friars with their rosaries. These guys know what's what. Battle of Lepanto, everyone praying their rosaries on the knees, defeated the Turks, the Mohammedan Saracens, and we won. Turned the course of history. So Archbishop Corleone knows what's what, and I praise him. Your Excellency, well done. Well done.
But especially in the prayer of the Rosary. So we came together to pray the Rosary and then to offer the prayer of exorcism, the St. Michael prayer. Because evil is present here, this is the activity of the evil one who wants to bring down the church, who wants to bring down all Christian believers.
This is exactly what a bishop should do. And I call upon Archbishop Gomez of Archdiocese of Los Angeles and Bishop Barron and all the auxiliaries of L.A., you boys need to put on your big boy cassocks and get your holy water and your rosary, and y'all need to go down to where the statue was torn down in L.A. and do the exact same thing that Archbishop Corleone has done. This should be the game plan moving forward. At the end of the show, I'm going to give you a game plan of how we can prevent this stuff from happening. But when it does happen, this is the pious, holy, pastoral, I use the word pastoral, but I use it in the real way, response to desecration and sacrilege.
We offer that prayer and bless this ground with holy water so that God might purify it, sanctify it, and that we in turn might be sanctified. The presence of so many wonderful faithful here was a real moment of...
I mean, we got, I love this, we got holy water, we got the archbishop, he's got the purple stole on for doing the exorcism, we got some incense in the air, we got this guy right here, he's waving the American flag, God bless America, everything is right in this video. The only thing wrong is that hoodlum thugs, Antifa people, pulled down a statue of a saintly padre. Father Junipero Serra. But the response here is on point. I want everybody in the rosary tonight to pray a decade for Archbishop Corleone and all these good people with him right now, because this right here is Catholicism on display.
Comfort for me. I've been feeling great distress and sort of a deep wound in my soul when I see these horrendous acts of blasphemy and of disparaging of the memory of Sarah, who was such a great hero, such a great defender.
He's defending the legacy. See, I worry that a lot of these clergy and bishops out on the West Coast, deep down, they think that Junipero Serra was a bad guy. Like, oh, I just hope this story goes away. We can just forget this. You know, Junipero Serra, he was this guy in the 1700s, and maybe he did some bad stuff. So let's just kind of go into our holes. Well, and we'll just, no, that's cringe. That's horrible. He's defending, Archbishop here is defending the history, memory, and legacy of this apostle of California. Catholics in California need to rally and defend the memory. So everything here is good. As can you guys tell that I like this?
Indigenous people of this land. Someone who was very much a part of my own life growing up. As I did, I grew up very close to the first mission that he founded in San Diego. So it was inflicted a deep wound in my soul, and I've been very distressed. So the presence of so many people here was a great comfort and support to me. I'm deeply grateful to them. The first and most important thing for Catholics, of course, is to pray. So I encourage them to continue to pray the rosary. 2 years ago, at the request of some of the faithful here in San Francisco, I consecrated the Archdiocese to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I've been calling for living the consecration through daily prayer of the rosary, through a weekly adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and through fasting and other acts of penance, but especially Friday fasting.
Okay, let's pause here. This is so good. Remember earlier I talked about our Catholic toolbox? Well, apparently Archbishop Corleone has a big Catholic toolbox that's fully loaded. He's using the right terms, but he's also talking about, hey, I consecrated my diocese, Immaculate Conception. I'm encouraging fasting and penance in my diocese. Penance on Friday. When was the last time we heard a bishop talk about that? It's been a while for me. All I hear about is immigration and social justice. Nothing about holy, solid, Catholic. How do I get to heaven? How do I become a saint? Pray the rosary. Do penance. Fast. Say no to yourself. Man, this is just legit. I love it.
So I would ask our people to pray and to fast and then to inform themselves. There's a lot that people don't know. There's a lot of ignorance of the real history. So I'd ask our people to learn about the history of Father Serra, of the missions, of the whole history of the church, so they can appreciate the great legacy the church has given us, giving the world so much truth, beauty, and goodness.
So here, not only is he saying this is a desecration and it's evil, not only is he calling, using this opportunity to sanctify souls and say, pray the rosary, fast, he's also using it as a teaching moment, saying, look, you need to know about who Junipero Serra was. Why is he important? If you're a Catholic in California, you should know about Junipero Serra backwards and front. And he said, you need to know about the history of the Catholic Church.
It's a wonderful legacy that we should be proud of. There are those who want to make us feel ashamed of it. We have every reason to be proud of it, but also we have to approach living our Christian life with humility and giving to continue to give goodness to the world and to give the world beauty and truth with the help of the grace of God. Those of you who are viewing, may Almighty God send His blessing down upon you and may it remain with you forever, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Solid. I'm just going to go ahead and give that a plus. Archbishop Corleone, San Francisco. So this is wonderful. You already heard me say all the things that need to be said, but this is a moment where an archbishop went down to the site of a desecration and he said, this is wrong. It's sacrilegious. It's blasphemous. It's demonic. I'm going to do the exorcism. Sprinkle this place with holy water. Looks like there was incense there. Sprinkling people with holy water. Using it as a teaching opportunity to say, hey, let's learn about who Junipero Serra was. Let's teach people. Let's learn our Catholic history. Let's be apologists. Let's defend. Let's not be ashamed of our history. Legit. All the way across. Love it. Now, it was brought up by Father Zulsdorf, Father Z. He says that at the site, Archbishop Corleone recited the Title 11, Chapter 3, Exorcism Against Satan and the Fallen Angels. Pretty sure, might be wrong here, I didn't verify it before the show, but I'm pretty sure that's the long exorcism that Pope Leo XIII composed. St. Michael, he authorized it for bishops and pastors to say over their pastoral jurisdictions. If you want to learn more about that, I have a whole section on why Leo wrote that prayer after he saw some kind of demonic apparition in the Eternal City. I talk about all the different legends. There's a lot of false info out there, but I verify the one true story of what Leo XIII experienced and why he wrote the St. Michael prayer, which he added to the end of Low Mass, and this exorcism against Satan and all the evil demons, and it's just completely legit that Archbishop Corleone used it. Now, there's another good story. Before I wrap up, I'm going to give everyone here watching an 8-point game plan on how we're going to fight back on the statue issue. Catholic statues. Before I do, there's another young priest, legit, who in St. Louis. Meanwhile, over in Middle America, these folks are coming after St. Louis. It's ridiculous. You hear some of the things they're saying, like, oh, St. Louis, you know, he killed Africans and all that. St. Louis was in the 1200s, as this priest says. He's like, he had nothing to do with that. The North African people had already been put in bondage and killed by the Arabs who swung through North Africa a couple centuries before. People just need to get their history right. So I'm going to play this video. Unfortunately, I can only find it in Twitter. And so I'm going to have to play it via Twitter. Hopefully, all my system here works and nothing breaks. Let me see if this works. Okay, good. So you see Father Schumacher there. I'm going to try to hit play and see if it works.
I've already been asked questions. I'm willing to answer them. You have to listen to the answers.
Y'all hear that?
Okay. So, St. Louis was a man. St. Louis was a man who had authority thrust upon him. He didn't do anything to earn it. You're right. He didn't do anything to earn it. What did he do with that authority? Do you know what he did? Go down to the St. Louis Cathedral, and you'll see some of the history that St. Louis did. St. Louis was...
Eventually, we're taking that, too, though.
St. Louis...
Did y'all hear what he just said? The priest said, go down to the cathedral and learn some history. And someone in the crowd said, eventually, we're taking that as well. That's exactly what I said 6 days ago, I think it was, on YouTube. I said, first, they're going to come after the statues of the saints. Then they're going to come after the statues of Our Lady. Then they're going to come after the statues of Jesus. We already saw an activist talk about that last week. And the crosses. Then they're going to come to the churches and attack the churches, and they're going to disrupt our worship, our masses. And then after that, they're going to attack us. There will be blood. There will be martyrdom. That's going to be the progress. And I think it's interesting that in this video, you hear them actually say that. First, we're going to take down this statue of St. Louis. Then we're going to go take down the cathedral. Let's listen to Father Schumacher. He's a bright priest. Love this Father Schumacher. Here he is. Come on, here we go.
Louis was a man who willed to use his kingship to do good for his people. St. Louis had nothing to do with Africans, okay? Do you know who lived in? Where did he invade?
Egypt.
Do you know who lived in Tunisia in 1100? Arabs. And the Arabs had killed all the Africans in Tunisia in the 700s.
These people don't know that Islam was the great enemy of Africa. Swept across North Africa, enslaved, killed so many, wiped out Christianity, wiped out the only force that was giving them freedom, and initiated the intercontinental slave trade of the African people. All begun, like Father says here, in the 700s, after the advent of Muhammad, a pedophile, a murderer, a false prophet. Evil, evil, evil. We do not worship Muhammad's God. Sorry. Father's on point here. Let's keep listening.
Okay. So St. Louis.
Poor father. Poor father. He's trying. He's trying. These people are ignorant. They just don't know. They've been taught in their high schools a bunch of lies.
Okay. In the 700s, Arab Muslims conquered the Holy Land, right? They conquered North Africa, they conquered Syria, they conquered Turkey, they conquered a lot of places. Christians did not fight back against that. They didn't fight. Do you know when the Crusades happened? The Crusades happened beginning in 1095 after the Turks conquered the Holy Land.
After 300 years of aggression. So there it is. Poor Father Schumacher. He tried. He tried. I just want to say how awesome it is that a young priest in his cassock, points for that, with a megaphone, went and faced the crowds. I heard people saying to me all last week, well, Marshall, if Bishop Barron goes out there, they could kill him. He could get attacked. Look, it's time to be a man. Stand up. That's why our bishops and priests are celibate. They don't have wives. They don't have kids. I'm talking about mortgages, car payments, college funds. They're out there to be heroes. This is why St. Paul said celibacy is the higher way. Council of Trent said it's a higher way. Because you have the ability to go above and beyond, like Father Stephen Schumacher. He's of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Way to go. Way to go, Father Stephen Schumacher. You are a Maccabee. You are a real priest. Did he risk himself? Yes. Someone could have just run up and smashed a beer bottle on his head. Somebody could have stabbed him. Somebody could have maced him. They could have pulled him into a crowd and started kicking him. We've all seen this stuff happen all across America. But he did the right thing. What I love about Father Schumacher is he's not just there protecting the statue. He's like, let's do a little catechesis. Does anyone know when the crusade started? I love it. And these people are ignorant. Like I said in the video, they went to public high schools. They got a revisionist history where anything that's European is evil, evil, evil. Colonization. That's all they know. They don't know that St. Louis was in the 1200s. St. Louis, if you were in his court and he heard you say anything sacrilegious, blasphemous, or a curse, he removed you from court. He said, I don't want anyone who speaks irreverently of my Savior and Our Lady and the saints and our religion. I don't want anyone like that around me in my court. Did you know, I haven't verified this, but I think it's true. People will come after me, but it's okay. Pretty sure this is the case. Louis the Ninth, St. Louis, during Mass, when they recited the creed and they said that he was incarnate, incarnatus est, he genuflected in honor of the incarnation. Well, everyone else in the French court was like, well, the king, he's genuflecting at incarnatus est. Maybe we should too. So everybody started genuflecting that part in the creed. And then pretty soon it caught on and caught on and caught on. Now it's part of the liturgy. Now in the Novus Ordo, they got rid of that. Why would you ever get rid of that, by the way? Genuflecting for the incarnation? Legit. Thank you, St. Louis. St. Louis is a pious man. St. Louis had dinner with St. Thomas Aquinas. We're talking about a very good and holy man. Perhaps in the Christian epic, from the time of the apostles to our day, the greatest Catholic monarch who has ever walked planet Earth, St. Louis, the king. That's what we're talking about here. We need to defend our history, our tradition, our saints. We need a St. Louis right now in every nation of the earth to promote Christ, to promote that which is true and conforms to natural law, that which conforms to the gospel of Jesus Christ, human dignity, pro-life, pro-family, all these things. St. Louis did all that just about perfectly. He had all the power of France, and he lived it in such a way that he wasn't entangled by wealth and fame and power, that he went straight to heaven as a saint. That's St. Louis. What's great about this is they're going to start attacking our saints and our statues. We're going to start learning our saints and erecting even more statues. That's what we got to do. Okay, so let's do the game plan before we shut up. Game plan, 8 points. You already heard me say it last week. Number one, take up space. You must take up space. This is what the liberals and Antifa and the commies do. They take up space. Why are they having unnatural, weird reading lessons at your local library? Because it's a public building and they're taking it over. They're taking up space symbolically. We Catholics need to have processions. We need to have our bishops, like Archbishop Corleone did, out in public with lay people around him, protecting him, sprinkling holy water, taking up space. Everyone needs to put a statue of a saint, Saint Francis, Our Lady, in front of your house. That's your homework. Everybody watching, how many people? 3,600 people. By next weekend, you need a statue of a saint in front of your house. We're going to take up space, and we're going to double down. And we're going to say, we're Catholic. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. This is a Catholic house. This Catholic saint is a disciple of Jesus Christ in heaven who has the beatific vision. He or she is praying for me and my family and my home, my property. We got to take up space. We got to have processions in public. We need to have banners in public. When we march and do processions, we should have banners, not felt banners, not this cheesy mamas and the papas, Peter, Paul, and Mary felt 1968 banner. We need legit damask banners, embroidered, beautiful, the best of the best, and we take up space. Because right now, businesses, what do you see in the month of June everywhere? I don't even need to tell you what you see. They're taking up space on the internet. They're taking up space on Fifth Avenue. They're taking up space everywhere and on commercials and TV and sports. We must take up space. Number two, we need big men, intimidating men, whenever these things happen. When Archbishop Corleone goes out there, you need to have some larger men out there. Yes, you can have, I mean, I don't know about bringing kids, elderly people, but if you watch these videos, I don't know if you've ever gone on YouTube and watched videos of these altercations that are going on. The Antifa people tend to be smaller. I think it's because they're vegans. Vegans. I like to say vegan because it rhymes with pagan. They're smaller people. They're not like Texas people or Midwestern people, Iowa boys. So just having a group of larger people just scares them. So we don't want any violence. We don't want anyone to get hurt. We don't want punches to be thrown. But just having bigger people around is a deterrent. So if you're guarding a statue, call up a bigger guy. If you're going to go with an archbishop to one of these things, we need some bigger people around. Don't make funny about this. You know it's true. We need bigger people. When there are bouncers around, less fights happen. Just because there's an intimidation factor, like, oh, that guy's kind of big. I don't want to go and try to spray a mace in that guy's face. He might get mad. And then number one is take up space. Number two, we need some bigger people. Number three, bigger groups. There was a good group there around Archbishop Corleone, but we need all of us need to commit to this. We need to get out there. Again, I don't want to endanger elderly people or young people, but we need to be out there with larger groups. Whatever they bring, we need to triple that. This is what we can do. We need to be out there, and we need to be surrounding our bishops and our priests, which is number four, defend the bishops and the priests at all costs. We should never, our bishops and priests aren't going, if someone starts punching them or attacking them, they're not going to fight back. They're bishops and priests. They're not walking around with a concealed carry. Maybe some of them are, but they're not. They are depending upon us, the lay people, to defend them and to shield them. And they are going to be attacked. I think that's one of the reasons why the bishops in Los Angeles and other places won't do something like this. They're afraid that someone's going to throw a bottle, spray some mace, do some damage, show up with baseball bats with nails through them. So we have to, whatever we do, shield and protect the bishops and the priests. Because if they're going to go out there, like Father Schumacher, Archbishop Corleone, and they're going to say things in public, and they're going to be challenged back, there could be a movement of violence. So we have to protect them. Again, we don't want any violence. I want everyone right now to hear Taylor Marshall is saying we do not want any violent altercations. No violence. We just want to say, don't tear down our statues. If you do tear them down, we're going to bring out our bishops and our priests, and they're going to pray and exercise and lead us in the rosary, and we are going to say this was a sacrilege and it's wrong, and make a statement. And when that happens, we have to protect our bishops and our priests. That's number four. Number five, we have to be ready to intervene. I talked about this the other day. If they throw a chain or a rope up on there, you need these. Bolt cutters. Go cut it. Now, someone brought up a good point on Twitter. Well, Taylor, if that thing's under tension, you got five men pulling on it, and you cut that, it's going to be pretty dangerous. That's true. It's going to blow up the wire, especially if it's a wire. So don't do that. But if you see people, if you're organized, and by the way, there are great groups organizing all over the country. They're talking like, hey, I can restore broken statues. Hey, I can mobilize 100 men. I'm working on being able to mobilize men in all the major cities. This is all happening. It's great. But you need someone who can just stop tearing down a statue. They're going to throw a rope, a chain, or a cable around the neck of the statue. This is how they do it every time. They probably have instructional videos on it. And then they get a bunch of people doing tug-of-war to pull the statue down. Well, before they put tension on it, someone just needs to go and cut it. They probably didn't bring a backup rope or chain. And they're out. And you just keep cutting it. You're not attacking anyone. You're not saying, hey, let go of that rope and trying to push them off the rope. All you're doing is just cutting the rope, cutting the cable before they even start yanking on it. And then you just diffused it. They don't have a rope. They don't have a chain. They don't have a cable. Number six, I mentioned this one last week. We need barriers. If we know that they're going to attack a statue, a cathedral, a church, there was a church in San Diego. That was awesome. The authorities were called, lay people came, everybody mobilized and protected that church in San Diego, the Fraternity of St. Peter. Bravo, well done. But we also might need to have barricades. If there's a beautiful statue of Our Lady of Fatima outside in front of a church and it's under attack, put up some barricades. Temporary, just for the time being. But we need some barricades, walls. If they're going to break into our courtyards and defile and deface crucifixes, statues, we got to secure it. Put up barricades. Put up a wall. If we need to, put up some barbed wire. Keep the people out. Again, we don't want violence. We don't want them in there. We want them out of there. So it doesn't happen. Number seven, pray peacefully. We don't want any violence. We want no punches. We want no cuss words. We don't want any shouting matches. We just want to teach the truth, explain why ripping down our statues is wrong, and we want to pray. And I love how Archbishop Corleone led the people in praying the rosary. That's what we got to do. We got to go to these sites, not to argue, not to fight, not for violence. We need some big guys, like I mentioned in number two, and we need to pray the rosary. The rosary is the weapon. Not guns, baseball bats, all that. That's not going to win the war. This is a spiritual battle. And so we need to, anything that's organized, you need to be praying the prayer of St. Michael. You need to be praying the rosary and praying memorares. You know, you got the Catholic toolbox. Everybody get the Catholic toolbox open. Use the tools. Probably need to be fasting. Probably need to be going to confession. All that. And then the last one, number eight, is we got to realize this is not ultimately about Antifa or even communism. Ultimately, this is about Satan's plan to destroy humanity and get souls into hell. This is satanic. And I like how Archbishop Corleone, His Excellency, said ultimately this is of the evil one. It's demonic. And in order to fight that, the strongest nuclear weapon that we have that works, nuclear weapon, is exorcism. Exorcism. Exorcisms are said in Latin because it's powerful. It also disguises the prayer from those who are around us. They can't understand it unless they know Latin. It's a sacred tongue. I know you guys, some of you guys don't like me saying that, but it is. It's one of the three languages that was placed on the cross of our salvation above the sacred head of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Those are the holy languages on the cross. They're on there for a reason. So we got to realize this is demonic, and we need our priests and our bishops to bring in the atomic bombs, bring in the nukes, What is that? Exorcisms. Exorcisms. We've got to drive out. I'm going to put these down. Getting heavy. We've got to drive out the demonic. All dads watching right now, every night, you've got to say, you've got to pray. If there are any demons in my house, in my cars, attacking my wife, myself, my children, through the prayers of Saint Joseph and by the blood of Jesus, I drive them away. I bind them in the name of Jesus and send them to the foot of the cross to be judged forever, never to bother us again. At the end of a rosary, just add that on there. As the Father, you have the ability to bind only for your wife and your kids. No, not for your cousin, not for your parents, not for your priest. Can't do that. So we as leaders of the family, we can do that. But the bishops and the priests, they've got the big bombs, the atomic bombs with these. I mean, the devil wanted that statue of Junipero Serra cast down and it happened. He inspired enough people to do that ungodly thing. But he probably didn't imagine that an archbishop of the Catholic Church would come a few days later with people praying the rosary, spreading out holy water, and reciting a powerful exorcism to drive him out of that region. That's a nuclear reaction right there. It's fantastic. So those are the eight pieces of the game plan. Number one, take up space. Number two, we need bigger people for safety. Number three, we need bigger groups for safety. Number four, we have to defend our bishops and priests at all costs. They cannot be attacked. Number five, we need to prevent any future desecrations of our statues. We can do this by cutting down the ropes, cables, and chains before they even get placed on the statues. Number six, we need to build barricades and other things to prevent anyone even getting to our sacred images and statues. Number seven, we need to pray peacefully, primarily the rosary. And then number eight, this is ultimately demonic. We need exorcism. That's the big, big weapon that only the bishops and the priests can bring. So thanks everybody for watching. If you enjoyed this, please hit the like button. We need more people to see this. People need to wake up. They need to get woke. Our church is not healthy. I don't know if you've noticed that. You want to talk about a virus like COVID? Let's talk about the virus of heresy, immorality, confusion, discouragement that has infected the church this year, but really in the last several decades, last 50, 60, 70 years, that virus has been a contagious factor in the church spreading. So we need people to wake up. We got to get people to get their Catholic toolbox open and start going to confession, going to Mass, rediscovering what traditional Catholicism has always been. That's what's going to bring you joy. And that's what's going to save your soul. And I'm glad to see Archbishop Corleone doing that. So please like the video. And while you're there, please share it. Hit the share button. Share it on Facebook. Let's share this. How many people are here with us today? 3,800. Let's share this 3,800 times. Let's get it out there. People need to know how to take action. We got to mobilize groups all over the country. This is not going to stop. This was not a one or two time thing. It's going to increase. Share it so people know. If you're new, this is live. Please subscribe. That way you get notified in the future. You hit the subscribe button. There's a bell next to it. You click the bell and that'll send you notifications. So make sure you hit the notifications bell as well. And, if you want to get updated on the history of what's going on, check out my book, Infiltration. The Portuguese just came out. It's doing amazing in Brazil right now. It's called Infiltrados. I just did a video in Portuguese. It's not that great, but I tried my best. It's also in Spanish, and it's coming out in Italian, I believe Polish now, and perhaps German, and it's Croatian. So more translations are coming out. The English is called Infiltration. It's a bestseller. Check it out. And then thanks to everybody who's supporting on Patreon. I do appreciate that. If you want to support this show, I'll send you some cool merch, some signed books. I'll send you a signed copy of Infiltration. Go to patreon.com/DrTaylorMarshall. All right. Well, we're going to close up here, and we're going to pray the Hail Mary. We're going to pray it in Latin, and we're going to pray it for these three men, Archbishop Corleone, Father Schumacher, and Bishop Hying. And then we're going to also pray the glory be, the Gloria Patri, that we are not alone in this. We're going to thank God that we have some leadership because it feels good. Boy, it feels good to have some leadership, to see some guys in some cassocks out there fighting evil. Not saying, like Bishop Barron, it's not my job. Not my job. It's lay people's job. Come on, Bishop Barron. He had to delete that tweet because he was getting ratioed. People were like, Bishop Barron, you can't. That's not Catholic. That's not apostolic. These good priests and bishops realize they can't hide behind allegedly what Vatican II teaches. They have to be like Leo the Great, St. Leo the Great, the Pope, who went out to Attila the Hun, St. Ambrose of Milan, who stood down the Emperor Theodosius. They got to be like St. Theodosia, who when the Emperor said, take down the image of Christ, you went out there and stopped him, even unto death, and she received heroic martyrdom. This is the Catholic faith. We all, as a team, our bishops are the generals, and the priests and the lay people, we go out there and we work together. We want to follow you, bishops. We're all going to follow Corleone. He's a man with the heart of a lion. He's lion-hearted, and we like that. We like that. So let's pray for him. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. God, we thank you that you have left us good shepherds. We ask you to strengthen them and give us the courage to follow them and support them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. St. Joseph, pray for us. All right, everybody, thanks so much for watching. And remember, you must pray that rosary every single day. 365 days of year, you grab the beads, you pray the five decades. Pray the decades. Today's Sunday, you're going to pray the glorious mysteries. Resurrection of our Lord, his ascension into heaven as our high priest, the coming of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after his resurrection, the assumption, body and soul of Our Lady into heaven, which is the hope that we all have at the judgment day, and then the crowning of Mary as Queen of Heaven to be our special advocate in heaven, spouse of the Holy Spirit. That's who she is. This is the Holy Rosary. You must pray the rosary every single day. Archbishop Corleone nailed it. This is the prayer. This is our weapon. Someone said, wrote me this past week, I'm old, I'm elderly, I'm sick, I'm in a wheelchair. I can't go out and do anything, but I do pray the rosary every day. And I said, that right there is more than almost what everyone else is doing. You're praying the rosary. And that's given strength to bishops, hopefully cardinals, priests. That's winning graces. Graces are coming down because people are praying the rosary. That's what the Battle of Lepanto was all about. Those soldiers out on the boats fighting the Turkish Navy, they won because graces were being won by people praying the rosary, pouring out on those soldiers. So that's the game plan. Pray the rosary every day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team, guys. All right. Remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Till next time, Godspeed.